Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Welcome to the PHP Architect podcast. We are a consulting company that publishes a monthly magazine about PHP and related topics. We also host a PHP conference in Chicago. In 2027, it's going to be April 27th through April 29th. You can also submit to our CFP today. You can join us on Discord at phparch.com/discord to join the live show. Drop in a message, say hi. We also have a swag store, which you can find some PHP Architect socks and other PHP-related socks on at store.phparch.com. This week, again, we have Holly and Sarah returning. We have ousted Eric from his own podcast. John had to be somewhere more important than here. And Eric was like, well, if I don't have to put pants on, I'm not going to do the podcast. So here we are.
Do you think we should look at like, guests on the show sometime? Like Eric can be like, hey, we have special guest Eric Van Johnson.
He did that once, remember? When Joe couldn't produce, he was like, fine, we'll let you come back for just to run the show.
Oh, it's discord.phparch.com. Sorry, I said phparch.com/discord, which I will have a task tomorrow morning to go make that redirect to our Discord, probably from Eric.
You had like all the time in the world. You prepared the intro in the document in writing and you got it wrong.
I totally got it wrong.
This is literally the first time the text intro has been written in the document. At least
And Holly was giving me a hard time. I kept telling her, I was like, I have to have it written out. So in case my brain just panics, I have something I can just read and fall back on, so I can't just deal with like the bullet points and everything like a normal person would. But yeah,
it's Mr.
Just...
Ferguson, you and I are very different people. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Right.
Yeah. I'm very much on the do it live side. Like, just give me some numbers in there. Like, if you don't have them, I'm going to make updates. So, like, right. All Papers closes in September 30th this year. I don't know. I'm just making it up. No, not September 30th. When is it?
I'm just proud that I didn't say May. Because it's been in May the past decade or longer.
No.
So when did I show up backstage to actually get this show started? It was about 10 minutes ago. Yeah, about right.
No, it was not even 10 minutes ago. Okay, dude, we're 10 minutes late, but it was 10 minutes ago. You showed up like 1 minute to filming.
Yeah, no. 22:56. I had looked at my watch. It was,
Yeah, we almost had more of the standards than except like Eric on the show. It would have been really bad, but...
That's what prompted me to action as I saw the notification on my phone saying you were that desperate.
So
it happens.
Circling back, I'm going to just say it. I'm going to say it to everybody. Like normally, I'm the person who listens to the podcast to find out when Call for Papers closes because I like the sound a deadline makes as it wishes past. For those of you who are, it really does, and I get so much feedback from that. The people are like, "Hey, you need to do better at that." I'm like, "Nah, I'm good." So when is Call for Papers closing? It is closing the end of August, August 31st. So get your papers in. That seems like a long ways away. It's not. Like, we're almost into August already.
It's like 5.5 weeks tops. Yeah.
And if your day job would like to get their message and product in front of a bunch of PHP developers, reach out because we're always talking to sponsors and partners to come in and help us make the conference awesome. Displace being one of those. We also have... another sponsor that we will talk about here shortly that helps make the conference and this podcast happen.
So, Sarah,
we've
been doing this for a few weeks. I don't see any swag on you yet. What's going on?
There's Archie right there. Yeah.
Joe is wearing your Tony shirt. Yet? I got my PHP arc. Swag here. Where's yours?
Oh, I guess have you got your Holly yet?
No, well, I haven't got my Holly yet. Holly is actually now in a box, in the control of U-Haul, apparently, on her way, not here, but to California.
Okay.
Which, I don't know if you've checked it out lately, is not the right direction.
No, that sounds like a whole half country in the wrong direction from where you currently
are. That is a whole half country in the wrong direction. Long story. X has bought a house in California, selling the place in Chicago. So my storage room full of crap can't stay there. So since my import forms are not ready from Portugal yet. They're just going to go that way, and then they're going to go that way, and then I will have the whole herd will actually be here, which
nice.
Yes, I have 6 elephants here right now, and technically none of them are PHP Architect elephants, but one is a PHP Roundtable elephant, which is a PHP Architect podcast. So
somebody should bring that podcast back.
Somebody should, yeah.
Yeah. One of these days we'll keep talking about it.
Yeah.
All right. In my defense, this entire month I've been in intensive foreign language learning classes every single day. I have been getting up at 7 o'clock in the goddamn morning, so early. It's not even today yet where you people are. Well, maybe where you are. But not where
Joe and I have the same time zone, so yeah, I don't think we have anything different here.
Joe, you're in Central, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Central. Yeah.
I'm in Central.
What? Okay, then yeah, you're in the same time zone. I think you said nobody had the same time zone.
Yeah, there does appear something's going on with our chat. We're going to blame a production issue on Eric.
Yeah, it looks like Google, YouTube doesn't have chat, but Twitch, and there's always Discord. You can go to discord.phparch.com, which is the correct URL to get into our Discord, and you can type and chat with us natively in Discord.
What the hell did I miss? Because I'm now looking at chat, and why is Eric talking about wanting to buy feet pictures?
Well, so the swag store's got the socks after the announcement last week about the socks compliance, and Eric wants to put up feet pics now.
I'm a big advocate for no free feet, so make sure you get compensated for your feet pics. Is all I'm saying.
Okay, somebody, I can't do this right now. Somebody go and check WikiFeet to see if Eric's on there.
Because, I don't think that's.
I mean, does somebody really want to see those? That's my question. Like, I don't know what the market
to
is.
To warn the others.
I think I'm going to echo something from, I think somebody else said in Discord, is are these socks safe for large-footed individuals like myself?
That's a good question.
Or do I need to have like small like tiny little dainty feet to be able to wear these PHP Architect socks?
And you need like to do the foot binding thing.
See, just like that, we have a need for Eric to post foot pictures of himself. Because, like, if they fit him, I think they'll fit anybody else.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Pictures. Yeah.
Pictures or it didn't happen, so.
Honestly, when they told us they were getting us shirts like this, Eric was like, I've already got one. It's great. I was like, okay, I feel pretty safe then. If Eric has one and he's comfortable in it, yeah. Because he's taller than I am, so.
The sock pictures on the website should have banana for scale.
For scale. Absolutely.
I saw a picture of the sun recently that had a banana for scale. It was very helpful.
And Duck Nizzle is correct. We are also SOC 2 certified now, so we have socks on the store. And Duck Nizzle bought some socks. And if you missed that earlier in Discord.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw the photo. And everyone else should be in Discord right now to join the chat and take part in. I'm sure we're going to talk about PHP eventually. I mean, talking about elephants.
I think Eric is trying to lead us into talking about PHP now by his comment in Discord that you can join.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Eric. If you want to drag the show, come on. Like
he will. Don't tell
him. He doesn't have pants on and we have the live stream going. I guarantee you that
has never stopped him once from being on this podcast. On his own podcast, do you think that man has worn pants on his own podcast every single episode? I doubt it.
Many years ago, my dad got remarried, and he said one of the things that when he got married, he was like, I am not wearing a suit. I'm wearing shorts. It's my wedding. I don't care. So he had a wedding outside, very nice weather, riverfront, and was wearing shorts to it. And everybody else is like, they dress formally, and they're like, I can't believe he wore shorts to his own wedding. And he's like, yeah, this is my wedding. I'm doing what I want. I don't care.
I mean, if the bride
is not your first wedding, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Exactly.
That's fair. Yeah. I guess the first one's for the family, the other ones are for you.
I mean, honestly, if it's your first wedding, you do whatever the hell you want to.
I guess that's true, too. So Eric was trying to get us to talk about the meeting tomorrow morning that's happening at 6 a.m. Pacific Eric time, which is the PHP Ambassador meeting. It's the second PHP Ambassador meeting for the PHP Foundation.
And it's a great time of day. It's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, about an hour after my language class. It's perfect. I don't know what he's talking about.
He is a PHP ambassador.
Lots of people. If you come over to, am I allowed to mention other Discords? If you come over to phpc.chat or discord.phpc.chat, one of those two, that will get you to the PHP Community Discord. And on the PHP Community Discord, there is a PHP Foundation channel. And within the PHP Foundation channel, there is the PHP Ambassadors, well, not within it, next to it, PHP Ambassadors channel. And as we can see on the screen here, that producer Joe has brought up very expertly, it is a way to keep the community involved in what we're doing for PHP and how we're making it better.
And tomorrow is going to be pretty cool because we're actually going to be breaking up into subgroups to discuss marketing. I think it was marketing, outreach, and there's a third that I'm forgetting. Maybe it's in here. Yeah, marketing, research, and speakers. So we're going to split up into those groups, talk about things, make plans, probably write some RFCs, vote on some RFCs, and then come back together and see what we've come up with.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. The kickoff meeting, I missed half of it because of the time it was bad for me. Maybe Eric's right. Maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon is the wrong time for people. But the part I got to, everybody's really into, and the breakouts that happened in the Discord later on, there's some good conversations going on. People actually like making plans, saying like, oh, I'll take care of this. I'll take care of that. So I have good hopes.
A lot of passionate people coming together wanting to do similar things, and this is the perfect way to kind of herd those cats.
Here's the crazy thing. We all actually kind of want PHP to be better.
Yeah, turns out.
Holly's laughing right now because she's been complaining in DMs like, okay. Goddamn internals is just fucking pissing me off.
Yeah, let's just jump into that for a moment. So, I posted a thing in chat, just a reminder to, or not into chat, into our show notes here. There's a book by Dale Carnegie. Many people have heard of it. It's How to Win Friends and Influence People. If there was ever a market for writing the antithesis of that, like how to piss off absolutely everybody and get them to reject an idea, like I could write that. I'd be the authoritative author on the subject. I have managed to piss off absolutely everybody. And thank you, Joe. It's a very popular book. Everybody kind of references it, talks about it. And I just do the opposite of that every single time I have an opportunity and have made everybody angry with me. And it has made my proposals better. But also, like, I want to throw deuces in chat and walk away sometimes. But it makes my stuff better. Thank you, everybody who's fighting with me. Larry, especially you, I'm going to call you out. Thank you. You have made me expand some of the things I've built and make them better. So it is frustrating. It is absolutely just ripping my hair out at sometimes. But it has been progress. That is the shape of progress. So, as soon as PHP 8.6 actually goes out, I'm going to apply to be Benevolent Dictator. Because I don't want to deal with any of you people anymore. I can just be the benevolent dictator for life, or at least until 9.0 comes out. I don't care after that.
That's a good plan. I wanted to say two things, and then I've already forgot what they are because I am not medicated for this. But I'm going to say, number one, yes, Eric is probably already working on an AI swap image of that book cover with you on it. How to make that amazing.
How to win friends like RFCs.
Yeah.
How to make everybody mad and alienate a room. There you go.
That's alienate an entire international mailing list. Let's be clear. Yes. Right. The other thing is that I am glad you sort of like walked back a little bit of the toxic kindergarten rhetoric a little bit there because, yes, I mean, internals can be contentious at times. Mm-hmm. But it really does come from a place of everyone wanting the language to be better. It takes two-way communication.
And that's why I snickered a little bit during the ambassadors discussion, because this is a passionate community. This really is a lot of people who all want what they think is best, and everybody has their own opinions of what that is and what that looks like. you know, I name my blog eventually wrong. Just a reminder to that, because I am wrong all the time. I will absolutely sit there and tell people, nope, this is the way it is. This is the best way. And then somebody will find something and they'll tell me like, hey, you can do this. I'm like, oh, I'm wrong. That's better. I'm happy to be wrong. Doesn't mean I'm not angry as hell in the process to get there. Doesn't mean I'm not throwing deuces as soon as I, you know, leave chat. But it. I'm sorry. I'm feeling bad. Anybody listening to the audio version of this, like, pull out that clip. Sarah just like losing it here on camera, just laughing to herself at this. I'm not sure if she's overtired, undertired, or what. But
I am overtired. I mentioned I have been getting up at 7 o'clock in the goddamn morning every day for 2 weeks. What I didn't mention is that I have not been falling asleep until at least 2 a.m. every night. So I'm out of spoon time. Oh, and my new 3D printer arrived and bought it as a kit. So I've also been spending the past couple of days assembling this kit. And it takes a long time to put together hundreds of tiny, tiny pieces. They're very small pieces. Look up the assembly instruction for Prusa Core 1 Plus.
Nice.
It's like 300 pages. I've put together one of these kits before. It's a crazy thing. I bought one like a year and a half ago. Well, the core one, not the plus, but whatever. My ex took it. So it's on its way to California to be used there, not to be reshipped.
Sorry, who did you trade that ex away to get? Like, I know you said you were like doing agency trading earlier on Mastodon. What did you get
for
that trade?
Holly is referencing a meme that I posted earlier today, which I don't know is appropriate for this podcast, but I'll do it anyway. What was it? It was in poly relationships, you should be able to like train partners. Look at my Discord or something like that. There was a joke about like football player trading. Like,
I believe that was Mastodon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw it on Mastodon.
Just say Twitter. Did I just say Twitter? No, oh, Discord. Discord. Okay. Thank God. It was on Mastodon. Jesus Christ. I'm tired. I'm so tired. They won't let me sleep. They made me come on this stupid show. But now I remember what the punchline was, and I probably should repeat that. So never mind.
Speaking of Mastodon, if you would like to join Mastodon, you can check out phpc.social for the PHP community Mastodon server. If you want to have a look around Eric's playground, we also have phparch.social. If you would like a fancy phparch.social handle, you can get one there. Eric does approve those signups. I do too. So if you time it right, I'll approve you and Eric just won't see it. So just depends. He may go back and look. So
Eric's sharing a link in chat here about the audiobook of The Courage to Be Disliked. I'm just going to say it. I don't think whoever's narrating that has any authority to do so. I think like I should be the de facto like narration for that book.
I think it's audacious that he says that it's in his queue and that he hasn't already memorized this book after reading it 15 times.
You think he's read it already?
I think so. Oh, well, I guess I work with him. I see a different side. I'm kidding, Eric.
I mean, do you just assume do you think he's naturally disliked at work, or do you think he has to like study to become disliked at work?
It depends. It depends. Like there's some things like his Git workflows where I can't get on board with some of those things, but there's other things where he's just amazing. So it's just kind of picking your battles.
I think he has an inherent talent for it. Like you can't fake that kind of.
No, I think this was definitely like born talent. I don't know how you teach this.
Yeah. Well, a curmudgeon is not made; they are born.
Fair. Yeah.
He was a little tiny baby.
He's currently
slapping his mom's titty. Pants on. I'm not having that milk. Let me see the show. Of course he's doing the podcast now. He says, Jesus Christ, they're talking up about polyamorous relationships. Yeah, I know, Eric. Tell Beck to call me.
I mean, I was messaging her already at like 11 o'clock last night. So I don't know. We'll just go from there.
So PHP is a great language, huh?
PHP is an amazing language. And speaking of Polly, what about single instruction multiple data, SIMD? That's Polly-ish, right? No, probably not.
I didn't see a lot of PHP mentioned in that.
Oh, no. I threw this on our list to talk about because it came from Mitchell Hashimoto, who I follow and have a ton of respect for because he was the founder of HashiCorp. So whenever he has a blog post talking about a thing, I try to read it and try to understand what he's talking about here. And his post here is essentially saying that everybody should know SIMD. And SIMD is actually single instruction, multiple data. So it's a type of parallel computing and processing. It is a way to essentially not load balance or distribute load, but if you have a lot of tasks to be done, you can potentially put them in parallel to make them 10x or even 100x, depending on the amount of volume you're doing. If you're doing something in PHP where you're looping over an array that has like 100 items in it, this is not going to help you. If you are trying to do some data science with Flow PHP and you're trying to load in a Parquet file with millions of records on it, this might actually help your processing. If you're not already using a processing framework to help you distribute your workloads and doing your computations, this is definitely a thing that could help you do that. And he's got some example. He talks about, like, you know, if you ever see like a for loop. So his example here is if you have loops in your code that are just three different for loops and they're looping over different objects or different arrays, different whatever, you could potentially use SIMD to transfer them down into something like this, where it's a 4-8 byte chunk in bytes, and they get parallelized across this processing, and things compute faster. Like I said, this is something that's not going to help you if you're doing hundreds of records. This is a thing that you're going to see an increase when you're doing thousands of records, and you're going to see that 8x, 5x, 10x record, that processing speed improvements on the thousands, hundreds of thousands and millions of rows. So when you're doing larger data processing stuff, this is kind of where that comes in. But I was curious if y'all had had experienced any of this. I know y'all are both kind of non-traditional when it comes to PHP, like web development maybe.
Go ahead.
Yep, go ahead, Sarah. I'll let you take it first.
I was just going to comment. It seems weird to have in the PHP sphere of discussion because you're getting down to the processor at this point because you're organizing your machine code in ways that are making these things function. We could be doing some things in the JIT to potentially make this stuff work better, but we're going to have a reasonable inference about what's happening to the data that it is reorderable. Intel has a lot of experience with reordering instructions and doing it wrong. So, you know, you don't necessarily want to just do that completely off the cuff.
The second thing is, where 2 + 2 does not equal 4, and they never let you hear the end of it.
Well, it started with the division bug, but yeah, okay. That wasn't a reordering problem, was it? Well, whatever. The other thing is, like, good news. You are already getting SIMD support in the current version of PHP. If you take a really narrow view of that, because floating point math goes through the FPU, through the SIMD registers, but that's just how the CPU works. That's right. Just doing math. Because floating point math requires that you kind of, like, parallelize a bunch of things at the... my brain is saying opcode, but that's what I mean, at the bytecode level of the CPU.
And see, I'm bringing this into the PHP world because I want to see more people doing data science-y stuff with PHP. And that means being able to, like, support some of these things. And like Flow PHP is doing a ton of stuff to where they really are bringing a lot of the Python-ish tooling into the PHP world. Because I was real bitter when I had to go relearn a bunch of Python tooling. I already knew Python, but I had to go learn a bunch of Python tooling when I worked for a data science company when I knew PHP could do this stuff just about. So that's why I bring this stuff up.
All right, I'm going to bring this back to PHP for real then, for just a moment, because this, first off, is something that reminds me of 2025, there was the 1 billion row challenge talk at PHP Tech. I don't remember who gave it. It was a great talk of how to basically take a billion rows of numbers and add them up, and Joe's probably typing, pulling up a link faster than I will ever find it, so I'm going to let him do that. But it was a great talk, and it kind of progressively, like, here's how we optimize this, here's what more we can optimize, here we throw the JIT in there. And here's when we start throwing parallelization with Swole and all this other stuff. It was really great. Well, this would be the next level on that. Like, what if we not only parallelize it, but start doing SIMD instructions to it? Well, I'm going to say one other thing then. So I've been doing the generics, monomorphic generics work on my branch. And I added in there support, actually this week alone, for variadic types. So now I can build a typed vector structure, which with a little bit of JIT work, we could actually make that work down at the CPU level with this SIMD kind of pattern. So this might be something we could get into PHP in the near future.
You're more optimistic than I am.
That was Florian Engelhardt. I am struggling to find a link, but that was Florian Engelhardt at PHP Tech 2025.
You know, I have been... Okay, so I got fired from my job on June 30th, if anybody cares. It was a very bad fit. I knew that, like, either I was going to quit or they were going to fire me. We had open conversations that this was the way it was. And I said, look, when you got to fire me, let me go. Like, no hard feelings this time. So they let me go, and I got some severance. And so that's why, like, this month, I'm just like, I'm just going to hammer on, I want PHP features to come out. And anyway, so I have just spent like 1 month, and there are some people who have been in the PHP internals community for years, and like I have had the advantage of, like, I'm very good with using AI tooling, and I get a lot of criticism for it. I don't want to start into that discussion right now, but like I have been able to do so much that it could have taken me a year. Like, if I would have coded these by hand, I'm very good in C. I can handle writing C code, no problem. But it would have taken me a year to do what I did. And I got it done in less than a month. Like, that is really just, like, a order of magnitude shift. And, yeah. Oh, he found it. There we go.
Sorry, I had to go to joined in to find it. It was Florian Engelhardt in Tech 2025. The processing 1 billion rows. I put a link into Discord. That you can go and you can find his slides. I did a search for PHP Tech IO and I did not see that on PHP Tech IO, but that may just be me trying to fumble around. So I did find that link.
Yeah, it was a great talk. I remember attending that one and watching as they, like, just, I think they got the final processing time down to like 2 seconds or something like that. It was crazy. I don't know. Every time I do PHP work, I remind myself, like, oh, this is a scripting language. The performance is bad. I know what Python performs at, and I kind of benchmark it off that, and then, like, this just beats it, and it's crazy.
Well, hey, in general, we should be fast, computationally faster than Python, and we should be using less RAM.
It absolutely is. But, like, my own expectations are still based on, like, the PHP 4 and 5 days.
Okay.
And what PHP 8 can do, like, it still blows me away.
Anyone who's still running on PHP 5 is doing it wrong, because the free performance boost just going to 7.0.
My brain is running on PHP 5, so like that. I'm running out of
PHP. My brain runs on Perl, so.
You know what? I mean, if anybody's actually never done Perl, like, the thing I never got past in Perl was all the, like, implicit arguments of, like, oh, this just implicitly carries from the previous line. And every Perl program is... hinges so much. Anytime I try and read it, I'm like, okay, now this is doing what, and where's it getting its data from? Oh, it's getting it from the previous line. How?
Well, obviously.
Perl was one of the first languages I did dynamic things on in the web, and it holds a very unique place in my heart for that. And one of the things I did early in my professional career was add database support to a CGI bin script that was a shopping cart. That did not have it. It used flat file databases, and I transformed it to using an actual RDBMS, and it was a solution. And looking back, it was like it worked really well, but holy crap, was it slow and inefficient.
I too did do some Perl work for web stuff, but this was like CGI had just been defined, kind of like 1992, 93, whatever the hell that was. You could put something in the CGI bin directory, and yes, you had a specific directory for your scripts, not the HTML directory. if you put the prefix NPH dash on it, the NCSA web server, which was the first one long before Apache, would process that script, and the first line is about would literally just be the headers of the response, and then you would actually send the body rather than just sending the body. This was a very long time ago, kids. PHP, I don't care how crufty you think it feels. It is.
We had a CGI bin folder, and we put our executables there, and we liked it.
Yes, yes.
You know,
the first one I used.
You've got me beat. I started like Apache 1.3 was kind of where I became like cognizant of server configuration, and it was fine. It was good. I had no problems with it. But also, I broke out Apache recently. I'm like, oh, this is not that different.
Like Apache. No, it has aged.
At the end of the day, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you look at Nginx, like the configuration file looks fairly different, but like the actual ethos behind how things are put together and how you actually, you know, make a configuration is not.
Yeah, I would say Apaches has actually gotten better over the years because they used to be very crufty to where they all wanted it in one file. And then they finally were like, okay, no, we probably should let people break this up into different folders and paths and such. Apache was the first web server I actually learned and kind of mastered, I would say, and got really, really familiar with. And then later Nginx, but yeah, the early days of Perl were something. My early days of Perl.
Now how we're gonna test some SRE knowledge here. Were you using Apache early enough and for long enough that you can remember whose name was in the initial configuration file?
Like the
default template.
No, I have dumped that knowledge.
I remember that there was one. Like, I remember that this was a trivia thing that people talked about, but I don't remember the answer.
Because every time you'd read, his name would be, like, right up at the top. And it's just, like, it's stuck in my head. Because, honestly, I thought it was a pretty cool name. I'm going to give chat a chance to answer, especially with that hint. Anyway, what were we talking about again? PHP. Yeah, 8.6 coming out soon. When is code freeze? It's in like 3 weeks or something.
Code freeze is August 11th.
August 11th. That's less than 3 weeks.
That's less than 3 weeks. We actually did flub and we missed a date. We missed sending an email on the 5 weeks out, which was just not on our calendar. So that was a release manager to release manager carryover failure of calendar events. And we have punished appropriate people appropriately. Maybe inappropriately. Who knows?
What incompetent person did we hire as a release manager for PHP 8.6?
Well, it's
some
me.
Fucking chucklehead.
But I wasn't the one who sends. I was not in charge of that email. It was not on. And honestly,
I mean that's exactly how it gets dropped, isn't it? Like everybody said, I wasn't in charge of that.
Exactly. It wasn't on our calendar. It does not exist. What was that? That was the 5 week email that should have the 5 week warning before feature freeze should have gone out on July 6th. It did not. We did send on July 13th. We did send the 4 week and next Monday there will be a 2 week warning for feature freeze. So the RFCs that are targeting 8.6 have to have everything, and hopefully, honestly, I really hope they have everything merged well before August 11th. But the absolute drop dead date for that is when whichever one of us, it's going to be either me or Matteo Bacotti who does that release. If Matteo does it, it'll be earlier European in the day cutoff time. If I do it, it'll be American middle of the day time, probably, if I do that release. So there's probably a little bit more grace and people sliding their RFCs into that release. So we'll see. There's still a few things coming, and I definitely appreciate Larry coming into the internals list and said, hey, everybody, let's push all new business to September and let's let people get 8.6 out the door and let's get it tested, because I definitely feel like internals has had a lot of split focus and I don't think 8.6 has gotten enough hands on it yet or eyes on it.
I do appreciate him saying that because, yes, every time I have been in charge of a release as we approach feature freeze, I always feel like I just have to be a little this is what I was for, to remind people that, you know, you've had 12 months to get your shit together. You've decided to wait until the last 4 weeks to actually put something up. Your lack of planning is not my problem.
It was brought up that because we
got on air. That's not very nice.
It was
going to call you out explicitly, but you all are right there.
Yeah, I'm guilty. I know.
One idea that was floated is that we move the release or the feature freeze, and then it was very quickly shut down because it's like, look, it wasn't the fact that you didn't know this was coming just because we missed this one email, right? This has been an established period and established cadence for how many PHP versions now and how many years. So I think it's, and I was going to have to be the person to come back and say, no, I don't feel like we should adjust the dates either. Let's just roll with this, what we have. I mean, there was only like when Alpha 1 got cut, there were three or four things that were new that had landed yet. It only had like a handful of the changes that are in 8.6. So I think the people are right to be worried about getting their changes in on by August 11th, but also they've had all this time.
Yeah. Be worried all you want, but it doesn't change the fact that you knew this was coming. This is not mysterious. We've had regular cadence releases for so damn long. And it's, gosh, if only there were a web page where you can see what the calendar for the coming release is. If only we had such a thing that people could reference. Gosh, that would be amazing.
You know, I think we opened this episode and I said I like the sound deadlines make as they whoosh by. I'm going to repeat that again.
Yeah, no, I have a very determined opinion about people panicking right at the deadline. Sucks to be you.
Oh, I'm not panicking. I'm just ignoring it. Like, no.
I don't think you're panicking. I think if you had to hold yourself for 8.7 or 9.0, you'd be like,
yeah, I absolutely. Like, even my webpage on my blog is even titled like PHP 9. Or like, I don't think we can have an 8.7 right now, but whatever.
So when are we going to bike shed 8.7 or 9? Is that once 8.6 is out the door and we figure out what's next? What?
I'm deciding it right now for everybody. This is my benevolent dictator hat. I've got too many big features to come to ship that it has to be 9. It can't be like an 8.7. It's too many big features.
I feel like you should maybe run for release manager 4.9.0 to really like push that narrative.
Yeah, but maybe that sounds like a lot of work. And then also like Joe could be the senior lead on that. I don't know if I can handle that. Like,
that is a possibility.
Joe, that would just not work.
I'm going to have to check the rules to see how they've changed, but I'm pretty sure, Joe, since you would still be working on an active release at that time, you could not. I'm wrong about that, because I know there's like...
Our veteran is actively on 8.5.
Okay.
I don't know if you have to finish your term before you can be a veteran. Maybe
I do know the rules have changed slightly. It used to be that like veterans and rookies would both be active doing things, and I know that now veterans are mostly there in a supervisor role. So maybe that is why the change is there.
Yeah, that's how we've been operating at least, and it's gone really well. I mean, we haven't blown anything up. We missed a single email. It could have been a lot worse.
I mean, you also are only at L2, so there's plenty of opportunity for you to blow this up.
Yeah, there's lots more releases to come.
Joe, in alpha stage of release. Man, this is going great. Nothing's going to go wrong. Oh, my God. We got this, fam.
I have rebuilt locally my PHP version so many times, and every single time I get the damn compiler flags wrong, and I have to do it again. I've not gotten it right, my local build yet. And you'd think I'd set up a script or something, or like a make file. No, I'm not doing that. I should, but I'm not.
So somebody put up the XKCD like effort versus payoff thing. Because you're probably not the right part on that graph.
Nope. That's like, it's such a simple thing. I'm like, okay, I've did all these code changes. Why can I not figure out the build step? Like, it's one, like, I just have to hit back there in my terminal enough times and it's fine. Except for I go back, I'm like, I think that's the right one. And it's the wrong one that I get. Like, I somehow get to the wrong one first and then I do that one. And then I'm like, oh, that now I have to go back and like, okay, to go to the right one again. And I do it every effing time. I'm so mad at myself.
Do we have to teach you programming so that you can write a program for this?
Yeah, it's just it's like remedial hitting up in the terminal. Is there a class for that's our new session for PHP Tech 2027, hitting up in the terminal to get to the right command.
new talk title just dropped. There it is. That's the one. So how much time does your compile spend before you realize you effed it up? Number one.
It's always far. I leave out far every time.
Mm.
That's the...
Oh, so you're just talking the config command.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
I mean, it's not that bad. It's like I run the config and then I do the build and then I'm like, I launch it and it's like, oh, Composer won't work. I'm like, ah, oh, damn.
I have two aliases on my build machine. There's PHP prod and PHP prod debug, which is just PHP prod with debug. I mean, yeah, is literally all it is. And it's just like all the things I want to do. And you know what? That's not even a script. It's an alias. It's a bash alias. It is one line. One line in my bash RC. So where are we on that graph of how much time you have to invest in this? Huh? Right. Are we at like the 5 second mark?
Yeah.
How many times a day do you build
HP? I probably wasted an hour or so on this in total. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably only 5 minutes each time, but I do it like 3 times a day. So, that's not, I mean, okay, I'm gonna get it right. I'm gonna get it right.
And meanwhile, I'm just over here.
Yeah, so you're allowed to spend about 3 weeks on that task.
Yeah, I'm at about 3 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, like June.
Do you think you can write a single alias line within 3 weeks? Do you think you can do that?
I don't like doing this anymore. This isn't fun.
Yeah. I don't like this game. This game sucks.
Suddenly,
self-awareness is bad.
Actually, self-awareness, I got talked about on Nuno today. I'm like just kind of geeking out about that. He went over like all my pitches and he was like, he's a great hype guy. Like he's got just this great energy and like, hey, yo guys, I'm like, I can't do it. I'm just boring.
He's got that YouTuber energy thing.
Yes. Thank you.
He's 100% got YouTuber energy. I think he gets a bit superlative with some of his hype. I think there's a little bit of clickbait in there. Sorry, you know.
You know what? But when he's talking about me, he can have as much superlative everything as he wants. Like I'm okay with that. Like
Holly is the most wrong.
I don't just have an ego problem. I have the best ego problem.
The biggest ego. Nobody's got an ego as big as ours. So huge.
Actually, okay. So we're gonna have. I'm going to throw this out there just so you can talk about how my level of crazy is. The other night I fell asleep. I was working on a coding problem in PHP, and I had a dream. Donald Trump was going to pay me a bunch of money to change keywords in the language so that like common loop patterns and things would spell out like T-R-U-M-P on the front letter of each line. And I was trying like my whole, like I woke up in the morning exhausted because I was trying to solve this problem while I'm sleeping. I have no idea where this came from. And I just absolutely woke up exhausted. And this was like Monday. And I'm going to sit in my computer. I don't think I can do this today. I really like, I have no ability left. I drained all my like thinking power while sleeping and on a, just a nonsense problem. But thank you, DreamSpace. Yeah.
Oh, you actually like spent time in your dream trying to
Yes. Okay. Like all night I fell asleep. That's what I woke up. Like the last thing I'm thinking about was that. I have no idea what happened, but that was nuts.
And because I forgot to do this earlier, we're going to hear from this week's partner.
Oh, our sponsor.
Thank you to our partners over at CodeRabbit for sponsoring this episode. Code reviews are critical but time-consuming. CodeRabbit acts as your AI co-pilot, providing instant code review comments and potential impacts of every pull request. Beyond just flagging issues, CodeRabbit provides one-click fix suggestions and lets you define custom code quality rules using AST grep patterns, catching subtle issues that traditional static analysis tools might miss. CodeRabbit reviews 1 million PRs every week across 3 million repositories and is used by 100,000 open source projects. CodeRabbit is free for all open source repos. Get started today by visiting phpa.me/CodeRabbit. Again, that is phpa.me/CodeRabbit.
My favorite thing about CodeRabbit is you get a little haiku about your code changes and your PR. It's pretty great.
I honestly, it really is great. I've said this before, but it wrote a poem when I added vendor mode into the PHP Tech app, for the attendees app. And it was like, it was really good. I don't remember it. I'm going to have to find a copy of it. I sent it to Eric at the time, but it was really good. This was also like a 3,000 line code change, so it had plenty to work with.
Is that still the open PR?
It might be. I mean, it's probably closed as a PR now, but it was a PR.
Well, my props to the creative human who the AI stole that structure from, then, yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Sorry.
No, you're not. So here's the thing. Like, even modern medicine, like, most of modern medicine comes from torturing people and stolen DNA. So
you're not wrong.
I don't like that. It's obviously not a good thing. And on top of, like, even ignoring that, we're torturing animals, like giving animals diseases to try and cure them. There's all kinds of horrible things there. But also it's saving lives. So I don't know. Wait, Joe, what are you doing?
We torture animals for far less noble purposes than medicine. Shall we move the show into a discussion on factory farming next? Because
sorry, I was trying to show this where it's a Reuters article about the judge approving Anthropic's $1.5 billion settlement of copyright lawsuit. So it's happening. It's been a lot slower than I wanted to see, but copyright is one of the biggest complaints that I see about people who are very adamantly against AI. And I even raise it as somebody who uses AI a good bit. I raise it all the time as it's a copyright infringement concern of how you know, who owns the code that gets generated, how is it, you know, you can't verify how it was trained or whatnot, right? So it's one of those things where I'm glad to see that this is happening, because it's lawsuits that are forcing the companies to, you know, do what they should have done in the beginning and pay for their training material.
I will have to read this later, because my very first question is, where is that money going? Because you're not sending it to every individual artist who's or programmer or whatever else.
Right.
Who's,
and so, 2/3 of it's going to the lawyers. And
to feel a little bit better about this, let me follow that up and say that Anthropic is also giving $1 million to a local nonprofit here in Memphis called Code Crew to go towards funding their new building. Like, they are building a physical location, and they are an organization that is kind of like a code school, but less predatory, like a lot less predatory, like not nearly as predatory as some of the code schools have been, that offer like career changing training and tutorials and schooling in the Memphis area. And I have seen it do a lot of good. So I hate it, but I also like, I think there's a little hope there too. So I want to like make sure we celebrate that.
I'm not going to shit all over the entire concept. Like, the idea of Anthropic having to like pay some kind of penalty for their outright theft is a good thing. I want to believe that's going to go somewhere good. It sounds like Code Crew, probably a good place for it to go. I'm sure it doesn't come with strings. Like, you know, the things you teach in your code camp have to be about how to write AI prompts. I'm sure it's not.
Knowing the people who run Code Crew, I don't think that they would take something like that if it was that like that ingrained, right? I mean, maybe
I will trust you on that one.
I feel confident in saying that it wouldn't be like, It probably does influence some of the curriculum, but that's kind of what they're beholden to as an organization that's teaching people, is they're kind of beholden to what the market wants. So
it would be naive to think that money comes without strings ever. So I'm not going to pretend that it wouldn't.
So one thing I found this really interesting, and I'm going to point this out. So we all kind of have talked and assumed about like AI stealing code, or it's like reusing samples. But some of my proposals, and even in my working directory, are new syntax. Like I added the module dereference operator, which is colon greater than sign. That code doesn't exist anywhere. Colon greater than, so it's like two dots and a pointing right.
And that Kadashium, yeah.
Yeah, so that doesn't exist anywhere outside of my folder on my computer and anybody else who's decided they want to play with it as well. It's doing that. It's using that syntax and symbol just as if it were natural to it.
Okay, did it decide that was a symbol it wanted you to use, or was that part of the prompt? I want to create a thing that looks like that.
So I declared the symbol, I wrote the RFC and let it edit the RFC with me. And then we did the implementation. Okay, man, it did like 90% of it, and I did like the reviewing it and like, hey, no, you got to change this.
Okay, so it didn't steal the token shape from it. You gave it to it.
I gave it the token shape.
If the token, that's a bike shit topic, though. It's like, oh, I want the token to look like this. That is like this much of an implementation. It's not.
So also, though, I added work. Like the use module syntax at the top of the file. Like that's not something that's never existed in PHP before.
And also, but the point I'm getting to is that like, you're saying that you are providing this information, mm-hmm. and oh my gosh, this LLM can recognize that you've told it what it should look like, and it's typed that out for you. Like congratulations, the AI has been a secretary for you on that.
Yeah. Well, even though I can say it in generic terms, I can say, hey, import a module, use the whatever class out of that module, and it can figure out mm-hmm. that and put the syntax together from that English instruction, and it can do that. So like that is not...
I think Sarah's point is more that the LLM is generating very accurate word soup output that sounds coherent. But at the very crux of it, at least, it's still very much, you know, word guessing.
I'm not trying to say that. I'm trying to say that you've given it precise instructions, so it's following those precise instructions. It's not creating. It's
right.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm on board for that. I'm not saying that it is creating. I'm not giving it any. Not saying not giving me any credit, but. I don't want it. It can't be stealing that from somebody else, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure. Yes.
That's okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the implementation that made it work, it's taking from somewhere.
It's a new implementation, it's just using what it would know about the current language abilities.
It knows how other features have been implemented before within the language that the features are implemented in.
I see what you're saying.
To fit within the framework of the language that is being created. And it's just substituting in like, oh, we're going to have these tokens, those tokens. The action of those tokens is going to do this thing instead of that thing. But it's all part of the blender on the
functionality. You are such a hopeless romantic, Sarah. Jeez.
So I will give you this, though. Humans do that too. There is very little uniquely new code that has been written by humans in the past 10 years, long before like AI was in common use. We go back to other implementations and we say, like, how has somebody solved a similar problem before? I'm going to use that as inspiration when I write this new code. Or I'm going to write it completely from my own head, but my head is full of the stuff that I've been doing for the past 3 years of my career. And a lot of that stuff has come from standing on the shoulders of giants, as the quote is. There are definitely very new and very unique things that happen in computer science, but they are not the majority, and certainly not in the web space. I'm sorry. give you a little penny into that. So it's not as though the way AI creates is fundamentally has to be worse than the way that humans create. Humans aren't that special. We are thinking meat sex. It's at least currently still. I would not elevate it to the level of saying it has been creative. I would put it somewhere lower than that.
Yeah.
I'm just a biased anti-Quaker bigot. I can admit that possibility.
The Terminator's coming for you first. But actually, no, it's probably going to come for Larry first, and then it's going to get you second.
You know what? Bring it. I've had a good run.
They're keeping me as a pet, but I'm not sure that's any better.
Insert Farnsworth, I don't want to live on this planet anymore meme. Like,
it's fair, yeah.
I feel like I should have that YouTuber. He's like, editor, put this in right about here. It always seems to work for the people I watch on YouTube. I don't know why it didn't work.
There. You have to just like point like this, and that's how he makes things appear.
Hey, I made an elephant appear. Oh, sorry.
So are you going to get like your elephants actually set up here for one of these episodes?
When they get here, again, most of my elephants, the vast majority of them, all but six, are in the United States somewhere. Somewhere between Chicago and California. Possibly they've headed in my direction because of routing. Like maybe they go through Louisville or something. I don't know. I know FedEx sends a lot of stuff through Kentucky for some reason.
Awood saying in chat here, yeah, we are thinking meat sacks. Now there's a profile headline. You know, I would really love to have like the specs for the human brain. Like, oh yeah, we work at, you know, 6 gigahertz and so many teraflops of compute and how much storage capacity we actually have. I would just love to know that. I don't even care what the numbers are. I just want to kind of know how much computing power do we actually have in our brain.
Well, you know, on the topic of human compute power, the PHP Foundation published a quarterly progress report, and it actually features what the humans have been doing. And I am trying to increase the size of the wrong window. There we go. So this was published a couple days ago by Elizabeth, and it covers all of the different contractors and employees who work for the PHP Foundation and what they've been working on. And some of the descriptions are a little short. Some of them are a little bit larger. So check that out. I will post a link so you can go see what people have been working on. I think it's really cool to have this kind of insight into what's actually happening in the foundation. And it's really cool.
I've been wanting better transparency basically since day one, but I sort of lack the task initiation to make it happen. But one of the great things about bringing Elizabeth on board is she has been doing open source her entire career as well. She's got the, not just passion, but the experience to really back it up. And I'm so happy that she's bringing transparency where we were just didn't have enough. Because, yeah, it's, I haven't always had a great insight into what some of our devs are doing from week to week and month to month, because they have a lot of autonomy to what they choose to work on. And that means you kind of have to go and ask. Oh my God, do you know how hard it is to go and ask? It's the worst. I can't do it.
There's not a foundation Jira that I've run across yet. So it's not like you can go find out and look at what somebody's Kanban board looks like.
Even if you could, Jira, would it be accurate? If that's the question.
No.
Why would people not update their Jira Kanban board? Is that a thing? Do people not like Jira?
You don't understand. Okay, I am a developer. My wife is a project manager. All we do is fight. And even like she can get mad at her developers and come over and like yell at me. I would just update your fucking tickets. I'm like, I don't even work in the same company as you. I don't anything. Like, I'm getting yelled at for what her devs have done or not done.
I don't get yelled at it, but I tell my coworkers to go update their tickets quite often.
Do you have a Jira instance installed for your household?
We use Trello.
Close enough. Jira owns Trello now, so I'll allow it.
Some family friends, Angela and I, both had for a quarter of a century. The female part of that group, I don't know if I should name names or not, so I'm just saying her. She does very project managery things as well. She also does the SRE stuff. It's or not SRE, NetOps, whatever you're calling it these days. What do the kids call this shit? And yes, she installed a Jira instance for their household, and her husband absolutely hates it. Because he's a programmer, he just wants to write his code.
Right. He just wants to do the dishes, not update the status upon the dishwasher.
I think he's actually DevOps now, but well.
All this code I've written, like if I had to actually do tickets or anything for it, like none of it would have gotten done. I will spend 80 hours a week sitting at code. You ask me to update tickets, I just don't want to do it. It's not happening.
Why do you seem to be blocked on the dishwashing task? Do we need to add more story points to it?
You know, my friends have an app that's like gamifying cleaning your house. And they are all in on it. They are like trying to get me to not buy in on it, but like, hey, this would really help you. Like, you get points for completing tasks in your house and all this. I'm like, okay, first off, you don't understand how I work. I will spend 6 hours consecutively and do all the points for the week and then like be done. That's how I play. And second, if somebody beats me this week, I'm going to have a fight. Like, there's going to be a fight. I can't not win. So this is a lose-lose for me either way. Either A, I'm going to become totally obsessed and just do all the things to get all the points, or I'm going to let somebody win and then I'm fighting with them the rest of the week. This isn't going to win. There's no way that's going to work.
You go and point to the monitor on the wall and say, there's something wrong with the dashboard. And they look at it and say, it seems fine. It says it's been updating. Like, no, it says I'm losing. Yeah, the dashboard says I'm losing. There's something wrong.
Yes. We are about at time here. Anybody else? Anything else we should bring up and talk about before we go?
I think we should talk about Roundtable, actually, because we joke about it. It seems like every freaking week that the Chuckleheads are not here and work here in their place. What's stopping us? Why are we getting this going?
Scheduling. I sent you a, now I did send now you have been busy and I have been busy. I did send you a message a week or two ago and said that, and I outlined some things that Eric was talking to me about and that I don't want to talk about here, but there we have the go ahead. We just need to find our first guest and plan it and then make sure Eric has the things he wants in place, because there are a few things that he wants to do before we do that. So as long as we give him enough time, enough runway to do that, do those things, he's totally on board, ready for it to start whenever we are. So if you want to start working on this, working on our plan offline or in the other channel that we have there, the offline channel, I'm happy to do that there.
Let's actually make that happen. I still have another like week or so of language classes, but like after that, like my August is almost completely emptied. So like.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a good excuse.
Well, speaking of podcasts in the future, we also have this same time slot, same time channel next week if we want it.
Is John still off just like trying to illegally cross the Canadian border?
I don't want to give too many things away, but Eric and John are getting up in years, as we all know, and they are getting to the point in their careers where they just can't perform with the consistency and at the same levels that they always have. So they're having to step back in the number of podcasts they do every month.
There's a pill for that if they're having performance issues.
Look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not anybody's. I'm not diagnosing. That's not
The other alternative condition here, this could be like he could just be like becoming senile. He's going to be in like a retirement community, like memory care. Like, I used to be a podcaster, and you were old man.
Well, the other fun fact was with Eric, and everybody knows how bad his internet's been, where he's just been freezing on shows multiple times, right? He was in meetings all day yesterday and never had a single freeze. I was in a call with him for maybe 45 minutes today, and he froze four times. I was like, maybe it's just a day of the week thing, man.
Maybe that's what happened to Mitch McConnell. He just kept freezing and
he's just still there on the screen somewhere.
Wait, did he go as well? Finally?
No, he hasn't come back yet. We don't know
what happened. That's the question. Nobody knows.
Oh, I thought there was like a newspaper photo or something.
If you
there was such a fake photo. That's
if you believe in such things.
Okay.
I know he sacrificed Lindsey Graham to get extra week. I know that much. Allegedly.
See, Eric's back person, and he's saying,
like, I absolutely think we're doing Weekend at Bernie's with like Mitch McConnell. I'm sorry. I don't care what side of the political aisle you are on. This is Weekend at Mitch McConnell's.
It's odd. No matter what your leanings, left, right, whatever direction, whatever flavor, it's weird.
It's
right?
Weird.
That's let's just leave.
It's weird. Yeah.
All right. So thank you all for watching. Thanks everybody who's in Discord. Thanks Ducknizzle and anybody else who has bought some socks from our store at store.phparch.com. Join us in Discord at discord.phparch.com. Check out our tech CFP, which is going to be ongoing for another few weeks. And then the conference itself is going to be in Chicago, April 27th through 29th. It is a little bit earlier in the year than it normally is. So make sure you check your calendars, go buy your tickets, get in the hotel block while it's there. We may not even have, I think we're selling tickets. Knowing John, we're probably selling tickets. So
get your early bird.
You're double blind bird because we don't even know we are so early. We don't even have the CFP done yet. So who knows what kind of talks you could be signing up to see.
I got notified that I got picked for a Longhorn. So I'm super, super excited.
Oh, congrats.
I know what talk I'm giving there.
That's awesome.
Joe, you going?
I did not submit. I don't think I'm going to be going. I think I've got a thing on my calendar for that weekend that I had to be in Memphis for. So I'm don't think I'm going.
Sarah, you're not trying to come back to the States for a weekend or for a couple days?
Not for a couple of days, no. Jesus Christ, you know how fucking long the flight is? I don't want to. I probably need to make a trip out to California to see Angela's new place and stuff.
And there pick up some elephants?
Well, among other things, yeah. I have so much to do. I have been so busy. I'm retired. Why am I so busy?
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I didn't know if we wanted to dig into that or not. How you get to be that busy with being retired?
I remember being this busy when I had a job. Sort of what I'm saying. I mean, I wouldn't say I've been missing it. All right, we are just drawing it out at this point. Thank you, everybody, for coming. You've been watching PHP Architect. I've been Sarah.
I'm Joe.
I'm Holly.
Keep it ugly.
Yeah, we need to rehearse that better.
We totally, and I need to find the outro video faster. Thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you next week, same time.
This has
same
been
channel.
PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.